Welcome to the Grumo Podcast, a weekly concoction of irreverence, humor, and science designed to nourish your mind and brighten your day. My name is Miguel Hernandez, and in today's episode, I'll answer questions related to online dating from one of my students. After taking my course, Hacking Online Dating, on Udemy, Marilyn Sutherland decided to create a similar course for single women 45 years old and over looking to find a great partner. As part of her course, she thought it would be a great idea to ask me a few questions on the topic as additional learning material for her students. I told her I have zero experience dealing with her demographic, but that I would be happy to provide my own view on these questions. So here we go. First, before we go into the actual questions and answers from Marilyn, I want to give you a quick background on the online course that she took. This course is called Hacking Online Dating and was based on an experiment I ran back in 2008 to meet an ideal person, ideal partner, which actually became my wife. So the experiment went like this. I gave myself 60 days to go on 20 dates. My goal was to figure out the most efficient, fastest way to find the best possible partner in the least amount of time. And when I sat down, I came up with this system, this experiment, which was to go on as many dates as possible within 2 months and then just let statistics do their work. The more people that you meet, the more likely you will end up meeting the right person. It's just like everything in life. You have to try several times. I learned that when I did door-to-door sales, you had to knock on at least 100 doors a day to get, if you were good, 10 sales. So there was a 10% conversion rate from knocking on doors to sales if you were reasonably good. So the same thing I thought could apply to anything in life, like trying to find a partner. So I went on a website called lavalife.com or .ca, which is still a Canadian online dating site. I paid for 2 months. The reason why I said 2 months is because I didn't want this to take forever. Remember, I wanted to meet the best possible partner in the least amount of time. So I thought 2 months and 20 dates would give me at least one or two really good candidates, right? To get to those 20 dates, I created a funnel, like a sales funnel, which I call the funnel of love. And to fill that funnel with as many prospects as possible, I had to contact many, many women. A total of 2,000 women using a one-click interaction. In this website, that one-click interaction was just clicking a button to send a smile. So I sent 2,000 smiles over the span of 5 days, and I got about 10% replies. So in my case, 250 replies. And from those 250 replies, I was able to secure 20 dates. So another step down the sales funnel in this case. That was 10% conversion rate. That landed me those 20 dates. So for every woman that replied with another smile, I sent a cut and paste email that was slightly customized to their profile. So I had to read 250 profiles. And then the first thing I wanted to do so I didn't waste time is, you know, who I am and try to be funny and say something interesting about their profile and then immediately set up a date. In order to be efficient, I couldn't just waste time spending days texting back and forth or on phone calls and stuff like that. I very early realized that face-to-face communication and meetings trumped absolutely any other form of communication. So if the whole goal is to ascertain whether we have compatibility or not, then we needed to meet face-to-face as soon as possible, right? Not to go to each other's place, but just meet at a neutral public place and have a 1 or 2 hour conversation and then see if anything could happen from there. So that was my approach. And it worked exactly to the dot. I went on 20 dates in 60 days and I met my wife, who she was date number 3. And fortunately, because not all experiments go as planned, also my date number 17 ended up being a great candidate. So I ended up dating both of them for 6 months. I told one of them, the number 17th, that I was also dating another woman. Anyways, how do you navigate the end of it? I could also give a lot of recommendations because I made a few mistakes. But at the end of the day, I end up meeting my wife, who I'm still married to. after, well, we married in 2010 and it's 2017. So just literally a week ago was our 7th wedding anniversary and we were very happily married. And so it worked. And I think to this day, it's probably the most efficient way of meeting a good, real potential partner, not just somebody to have a one night stand, but using the statistics to work on your favor. Now, things have changed a bit with technology, so you could replicate this experiment probably even faster with tools like Tinder, where you can contact with one swipe interaction thousands of potential partners within a couple of hours. In fact, I run an experiment to do so, but I could talk so much about this that it would take forever. But anyways, I wanted to give you some background on the online dating course that Marilyn took. And saying with this big disclaimer that I'm not an expert, first of all, on dating in general, on relationships either, but I've researched a lot about this topic. I find it fascinating. And although I have no idea what are the main issues that women over 45 years old have to deal with, I could infer some of them. Like, you know, when you're older, you've been married before, you may have kids or not. So the complexities are quite different, but some of the problems are universal. And so that's why I wanted to record the answers for you guys, because hey, if you're single or even if you're in a relationship, you may find interesting, some of these answers. Another thing, I'm playing a little bit of that devil's advocate, because a lot of the answers, you know, we could kind of as a society agree what would be the right proper answers, but I'm more about interested in creating a little bit of discussion and debate and breaking some of the molds as what is supposed to be could be the right way of doing things. And I'm just doing that for my own enjoyment, and because maybe it stirs some conversation. All right, so let's answer those questions. So the first question is, Marilyn asks, most of my students are independent, have good jobs, successful in their career. Some have strong and powerful personalities, but many of them feel like if they show up to a date strong and competent, most men are not as interested. Maybe they intimidate men because they're successful, or the man is passive and the woman tend to take charge and they feel like they're running their relationship instead of a partnership, or the man wants to be the boss and doesn't like the woman being so independent. And any ideas on how to navigate this? So my answer is, in one line, if in this day and age, a man is intimidated by a woman's success, then move on. All right, so that's the answer. Just move on. We are living in a society where, luckily, women's rights have improved tremendously. There's still some sexism out there. Women still at similar jobs tend to get paid less. But in general, man, if you're with a man that feels intimidated, which is not an unusual situation to be, because men in general are supposed to be the alpha individuals, the ones that are in charge, and there's all this expectation for them. So there's going to be intimidation, but it doesn't mean that even if you intimidate somewhat a man, that you should behave differently to not intimidate this person. What the last thing you should do is play as if you were less powerful or successful or confident you are, so you can be like more likable to a man to avoid intimidating them, right? You have to be genuine from the beginning of a relationship if you want this relationship to have any chances of success. So if you are powerful and successful, be that, be who you are, right? And if the person, it really has a problem, well, you have to address this from the first moment. Say, is this going to be an issue? That I'm successful and maybe more successful in the eyes of society because I made more money or I've accomplished more or I like to be in charge. Is that going to be an issue? And have the conversation early on, right? And if it's going to be an issue, then move on, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a problem down the line, right? So how do you navigate this? First of all, be genuine and do not try to be somebody that you are not. Like, don't try to be submissive or meek just so the other guy likes you, because you know the ideal woman is submissive and pretty and quiet and it doesn't say much and it doesn't want to take charge. If you want to take charge, there's a bunch of other guys that love to, you know, I wouldn't say bust around, but they appreciate a woman that has confidence. At the end of the day, it's all about confidence. So, you know, a real good partner will support you and be actually and will admire you for what you've accomplished. And it's also great to date somebody that has been very successful or more successful than you, because if you put your ego aside, it's a great opportunity to learn from this person, from this person's success, right? So again, if that's going to be an issue, try to find out as soon as possible. And then if it's going to be an issue, then just move on. So question number two, a lot of the info on the art of charm doesn't apply as much to older women, 45, 60s. So now, The Art of Charm is a podcast by Jordan Harbinger that is very, very popular on iTunes and helps men, specifically men, although it can be applied to women, but geared towards single men mostly, to gain social skills that can be applied to anything in life, including finding love, dating, finding a job, becoming better at networking, right? And it's been very successful. There's hundreds of episodes on the podcast. They have seminars, they have info products, you name it. If you have any kind of social anxiety or you want to become better at dealing in social settings, then The Art of Charm is the place to go, mostly for men. So she's saying, and a lot of it is geared towards people that want to date. Now, the take that it seems that a lot of men and their audience have is that it's an ideal place to get this social skills to be able to get laid quickly. A little bit like the pickup community, although they want to distinguish themselves much from the pickup community, because it's not just about using manipulation techniques and things like negs and peacocking yourself by wearing things that make you stand out and makes you look like the alpha guy or stuff like that, which, yeah, well, they may work for certain demographics, but I mean, they seem very gimmicky. They want to stay away from those gimmicky approaches to a more authentic approach. So it's they call it a process of subtraction. So subtract all the layers of stupidity, basically. And so at the end of the day, it is just the genuine version of yourself, but a confident version of yourself, of that genuine yourself. And that's going to be the most attractive way of presenting yourself. Anyways, she says, most of my students don't want to have sex right away. So those teachings don't really apply to us. They want to get to know the man first. Some are not comfortable flirting. They feel like flirting sends a message that I'm interested in you and invites a more sexually aggressive response from the man that they don't want until they know they really like the guy. Any ideas on how to translate this part of your course for women in that age range? Or are there other approaches you know that might be more successful? So I can see that the main problem here is that if a woman is attracted to a man, they are naturally going to flirt almost semi-automatically. And then the problem is that the moment they flirt, some guys, they think that it's just a door has been opened for them to stick their dick right into the woman, right? It's like, okay, oh, she's giving me buying signals. That means now I can just move on to and escalate this, and I'm going to have sex for sure. And that typically is the wrong assumption. A woman flirting, it may mean that they just like you or are attracted to you. Doesn't mean that they want to have sex with you right away. So it is an issue. So then I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I'm saying that, okay, there are plenty of studies showing that both women and men's sex drive is very similar across all ages. So the misconception is that women don't want to have sex as much as men, and that is not true. They want to have as much sex. The problem is that the consequences may be, I mean, especially if you're in a fertile time of your life, you end up getting pregnant. You're always dealing with somebody that typically is physically stronger, so there's that intimidation factor that being with somebody that could beat the crap out of you and you know, rape you or whatever, something horrible, and you have not the ability to defend yourself as much as if you're a man. So obviously, you may want to have sex with this person, but there is a lot more risk when you're a woman. But the point I want to make sure that comes across is that women probably want to have sex as much as men on the first date, But there are several reasons why they want to stay away from that. And if you end up in a situation where you're flirting and you think the guy is thinking that you want to have sex with them, again, communication is the most important thing. So my advice is to be a straight shooter. Be honest and say what you think and why. Something like, I find you attractive. I would love to have sex with you tonight, but I don't know you well enough and I'm not looking for a one night stand. If that's a deal breaker, then walk away. The right person is not going to have an issue. So you'll know right away if the person has an issue, is not the right person for you to be with. Yes, most men would like to have sex with you right away because that's how we're wired. We want to have sex the moment we're attracted. It's not like we want to wait. Why would you wait for something that is so awesome? It just doesn't make any sense, right? But a man that has certain level of intelligence and can respect a woman then won't have an issue with waiting. So there you go. The moment that you say this and you find that there's an issue, there you go. The answer that this guy, whether this guy is the right or not, is answered. Just move away. So once expectations are set clearly, there is a lot less room for the man to be disappointed or feel he was misled by flirtation. Because a lot of guys get really frustrated because you were flirted with me. Doesn't that mean you want to have sex with me? It's like, yes, but maybe not right away. I mean, so that's the problem. And again, if a guy has a problem with that, he needs to grow up a little bit and understand how the world works and how women work in general. This is in general because there's some women that, yeah, don't have a problem. When they flirt, that means they want to have sex. But in general, you have to have some communication to make sure that that flirtation actually means what that doesn't mean. It just means you're attracted and you would like to date me longer or that you want to have sex right away. And of course, that takes practice from both sides, you know. The woman has to be able to read right away that if she flirts with this guy, this may lead to a confrontation or to misleading the guy. So don't play a dangerous game. Like, don't flirt with somebody that you don't want to have sex with eventually. And the same for the guy. Don't think that every time somebody's flirting with you means that they want to have sex with you right away. All right. So next question. Several of my students have done a little online dating, but feel they didn't find it very satisfying. I'd love for you to share about your experience and hear how you embraced the journey. And so she says there's been frustration, and I've heard that many times. You know, I've been online dating, didn't work for me. Well, so what I say is frustration and disappointment only happens when reality doesn't match our expectations. So to avoid disappointment, you need to either lower your expectations, have the right expectations, or simply remove them altogether. Or have a very specific plan like I did, right? So my advice is don't attach your happiness to the outcome, but to the process. In my case, I was ready to walk away from my 60-day experiment without a suitable partner. But I knew that in the process, I would meet interesting people, learn lots about myself, about how dating in general and women. And definitely my purpose was to have fun also. So three very valuable things, whether I succeeded or not in finding a partner. So I knew that treating this as a fun experiment was going to be a success in itself, right? So I didn't set myself for failure. I set myself for success by making sure that I focus on the things that I knew I was going to get yes or yes, almost guaranteed for sure. So I set the right expectations. Then understand the power of statistics. It's quite likely that the odds of finding a great match are about 1 in 10 or even less. So if you go on only 2 dates, be ready to walk away with nothing. Now, if you go on 20, I'd be very surprised if you didn't find at least one great man, one great candidate. So a lot of people give up right away. They go on, you ask them, well, online dating didn't work for me. So how many dates did you actually go on? Oh, 2 or 3 or 10 over the span of 5 years. Well, are you kidding me? You got to understand that the odds are difficult. And the older you get, the more difficult they're going to get. Now, if you're extremely hot and young and pretty and smart and confident and tall and rich, yeah, well, the odds are going to be a lot better for you. You're going to have a different problem, which I've seen also with younger, pretty women, is that they have so much options to choose from, and most of them is crap. They have to create a filtering system to figure out who are the good men from the guys that just want to get laid. But once you're over 45 years old, the tables have reversed, And unfortunately, now you're not as on demand as you used to be when you were 20 years younger. So you're going to have to work a lot harder. So from point number two, it follows that you'll have to be ready to work hard to find a great man. Like diamonds, there are few, far, and in between, and therefore hard to find. There you go. Now Marilyn asks, I wanted to get your insight and ideas about women who are older and may not want marriage, but want a committed monogamous partner. And many of the women want to start as friends or take it slower and not jump right into bed. All right, so this seems to be two questions, because one thing is about whether you want to get married or have a committed long-term relationship. And the other one is about starting as friends and not jumping into bed right away. So for the first part, I mean, I don't really see an issue, unless it really is an issue if the man has an issue with either getting married or not getting married. So you have to just discuss this, right? A long-term relationship is what really matters. It's the commitment between the two people. Getting married or not is, to me, a formality. And it's not a necessary formality. I didn't want to get married, but for my wife, it was important. So to me, because this is a formality, the real agreement was between me and her. That's what really mattered to me. Then getting married was just, okay, well, if it makes you happier or if it makes your mother happy, let's do it. So not a big issue there. Just discuss that and then figure out what happens. If that's a deal breaker, then again, that's not the right guy. The right guy will never, something like that shouldn't be a deal breaker. Okay. So then she say, what do you say in the ad? So in your profile online, and how do you set this up without discouraging men at the beginning? So they understand you want a relationship and want to know the man a little first. So this relates to wanting to be friends before having sex. One woman said the guy lived 2 hours away, and for the first date, he said, I'll just come up on Thursday and stay with you through Monday. So, and she said, no, it was too fast. That's what she said. And then Marilyn says, I would not only let him come, but I would not continue with him at all. What do you think? First of all, having sex and staying friends is not incompatible. So a lot of women is like, I want to be friends before we have sex. And I'm like, why is friendship and sex incompatible? Okay, well, if you cannot differentiate them, that's a different thing. But that they are compatible, there is no question about it. There's tons of people that are friends, and they're called friends with benefits, that have a friends relationship as friends, and also they have sex, all right? So now if you come from a generation where this was not as common and it was not easy to discern one from the other, that's a different story. Right. But remember that you can have sex with somebody. Doesn't mean you want to marry them. All right. Also, having sex and taking things slowly is not incompatible either. You can take things slowly. You can have sex for the next 10 years. And doesn't mean you have to marry that person. Maybe not. Right. There's tremendous amount of variation of the things of how you can take things or do things in order to end up developing a relationship. So when you say, yeah, you can put that on your profile. You know, I want to get to know you better before we have sex. And some guys will be turned off by it. And if I was a guy, I wouldn't be turned off by it, because what women or anybody writes is what they, it's just kind of like a way of protecting themselves. But I know from my own experience and many men's experiences that they end up having sex for the first night with women that said that they wouldn't do that in the first place. And many times it was the woman that initiated it. It's like, but didn't you say that you didn't want to have sex in the first night? Well, obviously not with the right guy, but if you're awesome and I'm extremely attracted to you and I'm horny as hell, it's going to happen. So yeah, put whatever you want on your profile that makes you feel better. But you remember, when your plan meets the actual world, it may not work as planned. Now, because there's so many guys that just want to have sex, I think it's a good idea to put it, because the moment you don't put it, they're going to assume that you just want to have sex right away, unfortunately. So it's a good idea to put it. And then if you can change the plan as you go. So many women won't agree with me, but here's my advice. If you like the guy and have gathered enough evidence that he's not a psycho killer, which you can do easily nowadays online and, you know, do a little bit of your research, have sex with him as soon as possible. So I know that a lot of women are going to be like, what? Have sex with him as soon as possible? Well, here are the reasons why this is a more efficient approach to determine whether this guy is a keeper. First, if you have sex early on and he immediately loses interest in you, then he was not the right guy and you found out sooner than later. There you go, right? I mean, what are the guarantees that you wait and have sex and he's the right guy or not? It's just there's no guarantees whatsoever. So you might as well have sex. So number two, if you wait too long to have sex, a great guy may also lose interest and move on, even if he likes you a lot. You know, if he's a great guy, trust me, he's got other options out there. And if the other options have sex earlier with him and he really enjoys it, he's more likely to develop a sentimental relationship once the sex is a part of the deal. And he was a great guy. And then you lost the opportunity because you decided that to make this guy wait forever. And he's like, you know what? I really like you, but you know what? I also like to have sex like everybody else in the world. So if you make me wait for too long, I'm just going to move on. Three, if you wait too long to have sex, you may fall in love with him to only find out he sucks in the sack, right? So he's like, oh, I love you, blah, 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 everything is beautiful, but we're not going to have sex. And then 1, 2 months, 3 months go past, and then you're like, let's have sex. And then you have sex, and it's like, wow, this was crap as hell. So the sooner you find out your sexual compatibility, the lower the chances of disappointment. Four, the sooner you have sex, the sooner you'll be able to experience what this man has to offer besides his good looks and charm. Test the whole package before you buy it. So this is the same as number three. Just don't wait. Don't wait because five, having sex is one of the most fun activities humans can enjoy for free. And when I say for free, it's like you don't have to, we're not designed to have to buy anything to have sex. We come with all the tools already the day we were born. And that's amazing. One of the most enjoyable activities we could ever have. It's just being naked and having sex. You don't have to like invent anything new or buy products or anything. Just have sex. You have all the tools. So why deny yourself all this fun while you're getting to know someone better? Doesn't make any sense. Well, from my experience, the ideal timing to start having sex is on the third date over the span of the weeks, right? So I'm just going to give you some guideline. This is if you have a problem having sex on the first date. Then wait until the third date. My advice is do not wait too long for the reasons I mentioned before. So the third date, it would be a good idea over the span of 2 weeks. Here's how it would go. Spend at least 1 hour engaged chatting online. Some people spend hours and hours. I'm like, what a waste of time. Really, if you want to follow my experiment, which I think is the most efficient way of finding a real good potential candidate in the least amount of time, then you do not have time to spend hours and hours chatting online. So spend at least 1 hour. In 1 hour, you can exchange a lot of information. Then second, research the candidate as much as possible online, his social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, personal website. If you have any common friends, try to, get as much info, intel on this person, just to discard the possibilities that he's a psycho killer. Three, if he seems legit, set up a date no later than 5 days away. So it's like, okay, well, if you said it right away, it's going to be, this is where like humans work. Like the amount of time we take in setting up dates, the timing also sends a message, right? So if you say, I want to meet you tonight, that sends a message that you're desperate or like you cannot wait or what the hell is going on with you? Why? But if you say within the next 5 days, so 3 days from now, let's meet, it shows that you're not too eager or desperate and that, you know, it seems like stupid. It has to be that way. Otherwise, you're going to start sending the wrong message, right? You don't want to send a message that you're not interested whatsoever by saying, let's meet a month from today. Cause that's like eons on the dating world. You could have in a month, you can date, you know, like I did, 10 different women. So try to meet within the next week. And then on the first date, get to know each other as much as possible. On the second date, make it more casual and choose a different setting. You want to know how this fish adapts to different waters, right? So don't go to the same place, try to do something different. I would really encourage you to stay away from going to watch a movie or a band or something like that. I've done it. And the problem is just creates an awkward situation. If you don't know the person well enough, all you're doing is sitting beside this person and not being able to communicate because you have to pay attention to whatever is going in front of you. And at the end, you spend 2 hours and nothing interesting happened. You didn't get to know this person. Maybe you can talk about the movie, but that was the most valuable time that you could have devoted and invested in getting to know each other. You devoted to watch a movie and the movie could be crap and so don't do that. The second date also focus on getting to know each other better, making it more casual. So, you know, it's just, you can go to a slightly more intimate place, like having dinner, instead of coffee and choosing, different location. And on the third date, have dinner at your place or his place, right? If you're not at this stage, then you can still have dinner. I mean, it gets really old to have dinners with somebody and expensive. And it's like, okay, well, by the second date, you kind of have a pretty good idea if there is sexual attraction. You won't know if this person is the right person forever. It's impossible to know that in just two dates. Remember, you haven't experienced or known this person for their entire lives before the time you met them. So if they're 33 years old, they're 40 years old, 45 years old, you've missed 45 years of their entire life. How are you going to know this person, these 45 years in just two dates? It's impossible, right? So you'll have just enough information to know if this person is someone that is somewhat legit and you're attracted to them. So then the next step is just go and have dinner at your place or his place. And ideally, if everything goes right, you want to end up having awesome sex that night. But of course, always only if it feels right and both really want to. Another question, Marilyn says, I think the available men in this age range who are healthy, well-adjusted men who are a match for my successful women students are very limited. Any comments on how to navigate this? And then I say, I don't think there's a lack of healthy, well-adjusted single men in the 40s and older. The problem is that single, healthy, well-adjusted men in their 40s are simply much more attracted to younger women under 40. And there's nothing you can really do about it, because the way that we are evolutionarily wired to is to be attracted to people that are fertile, especially men. And fertility for women have been between typically the ages of 18 to 35, right? So that's like the most fertile years. So once you're after your fertile years, men in general are not going to be attracted to you. And because attraction, sexual attraction is so important for any relationship to flourish, then it's not that there's a lack of guys. I mean, every guy, doesn't matter how old they are going to be attracted when they see a really attractive younger woman. And that's because how it works. So it's not that there aren't enough men, it's that there are not enough men that would be interested in an older woman. As simple as that. And I know it sucks, but it's the truth. Like I said, by now, there's an overwhelming amount of evidence supporting that most men value more youth and looks over intelligence and wealth. So 9 out of 10 guys in their 40s would rather date a woman 10 years their junior than one their same age or older. This may be discouraging, but it doesn't mean a woman 45 years and older should give up altogether. It just means they will have to set the right expectations and be ready to work twice or three times harder to find a suitable man than when they were younger. And it's harder for a lot of people that were young and were not attractive. Like even for me, I had my own problems. My problems were my lack of confidence. I'm short, so my height. And that, in fact, on top of that, I was missing two of my front teeth. So I couldn't smile. I looked like a weird short hockey player. So that really affected my confidence. And I knew most women would be turned off by all those three crucial factors. So I played to maximize my strengths instead of focusing on the things I couldn't do anything or little about. I couldn't grow taller, growing teeth. It took me like literally almost six years to be able to do all the orthodontics, spend tens of thousands of dollars getting two implants, very expensive implants, to be able to smile again after basically my entire life not being able to smile. So really played a lot. And being taller, there's nothing I could do, right? So what I had to do is just work harder, right? So I applied hard work, patience, humor, and a defined, clear strategy to find the best suitable partner. And it worked, right? So if you don't put the work, you know, remember, just at your that demographic, 45-year women and older, it's just going to be harder. It doesn't mean it's impossible. Another question from Marilyn. Most women complain guys just text back but don't seem to want to talk on the phone. How could the women handle that so they could start talking sooner and see if there's a match? Why could these women text the men? So in my opinion, anything that is not a face-to-face meeting is mostly a waste of time. It's okay to text a bit back and forth or talk on the phone a bit, but the sooner you meet the person, the better. Nothing can replace the intensity and realism of a face-to-face interaction. You can spend 3 months texting and talking on the phone, and all can be ruined in the first 30 seconds of a real-world date. If a guy refuses to meet in person after 2 or 3 days chatting, then he doesn't mean real business and should be discarded as an option. We're doing this online dating thing to meet real humans in the flesh, not to fall in love with zeros and ones coming from a server in Utah, all right? You're going to save so much time. If you're looking for efficiency, nothing is going to replace the face-to-face meeting. So get to that face-to-face meeting as soon as possible. Another question from Marilyn. Would you talk about the danger of having a very specific and long list of things that you want? I love how you shared in your course about your wife being taller than you. And if she had a high requirement that was mandatory, she would never have responded, much less married you. I think hearing this from a man would be powerful. Well, that is true. Actually, my wife, she was not considering to go out on a date with me because I was short. It just happened that her sister was there at that time and said, well, you know what? Give him a chance. You know, he seems like a nice guy. He's not too ugly. You know, you don't have anything to lose, right? So, but that's the reality. It's like, you know, it's true. She's 4 inches taller than me. It's a lot, and especially when women are one guys that are typically 4 inches and taller than them. So I was like completely the opposite. So I really, really sucked for me. But you know, she gave me a chance, and of course, she doesn't regret it. It's the best thing that happened in her life. Well, I hope it is. She tells me. So this is my take on this. Dating is like war. No battle plan survives contact with the enemy. Real love doesn't understand plans, logic, or requirement list. When we meet someone that resonates with our soul, we know it. It may not make sense on paper, but it will feel unequivocally right in our heart. So my advice is to throw all your lists into the bin, all your expectations, and go on dates with an open mind. When you find someone you like, you'll know right away. You may be surprised to find out that the reasons you like him have nothing to do with the reasons you thought that you would like someone. In fact, there are several studies proving that we're extremely bad at predicting what we will like in a person. Most women prefer tall, dark, handsome, intelligent, well-respected, wealthy men. But there are two problems with setting expectations this high. One, there is absolutely no guarantee that someone that meets all your criteria will make you happier and love you more than someone that doesn't. Zero guarantees. And second, statistically, it's highly unlikely that someone that meets all that criteria will choose you as a partner, given that they will have a much larger pool of options to choose from. So two great and important realities to understand. Throw those requirement lists out the bin. Obviously, you're going to go out with somebody that from what you've gathered online, from the intel you've gathered online, seems like a legitimate, genuine, great, attractive person to you, and then go from there with an open mind and let just the world surprise you, and you will be surprised. Another question. Marion asks, guidance on how to be safe when meeting and dating strangers. When do you give them your home address? My answer is just use common sense. On a first date, always meet in a public location at a safe area of town. Go to his place if you decide to escalate things during the evening. So if you're going to go to anybody's place, go to his place, because that way he doesn't know where you live. All right. So he doesn't have your address. He cannot become a stalker because he doesn't know where you live. And second, you'll get a chance to see what his place looks like, which may reveal much more about his personality than his own words. And of course, before you go, you know, if you're unsure, make sure you text his address to a friend. Whether when you get there or when he tells you we're going there. And then that way, if you don't show up next day, then your friend knows where were their last location that you were at. Another question, Marilyn, guidance on how to tell if the guy is real, a real man and a single, not married man. Okay, this question, the way it's posed, because I'm reading verbatim. So this is how the questions were written. But anyways, so if you want to see if the man is real, grab his crotch and see if he screams when you twist it. Right? You just grab it really hard. And if you grab his balls and you pinch them really hard, if he doesn't scream, he's not a real man. All right. Okay. So I don't know if that's what you wanted to test, that whether the man was a man or not, or a woman or, you know, anyways. But if you're unsure about his marital status, you know, so one, ask him straight or ask to meet him at his place. And it's hard. If the guy is really a player, it's going to be very hard for you to ascertain whether he's married or not. I mean, he could have a mark on his ring finger that he's been wearing a ring. If you go to his place and he's married, it'll be very hard. If this is a place that he shares with his partner, it'll be very hard for him to erase all the evidence of somebody he's married with. That's one thing. So that's why asking to go to his place would be a good idea. Now, being married doesn't necessarily have to be a deal breaker, because at older age, you know, it's likely that the person is being already married, has kids, or has been divorced. or he may be going through a divorce right now, or being in an abusive relationship trying to get out. The important thing is to find out as soon as possible. Because if he's a fantastic man, it may be worth to stay around and help him even during the transition yourself, right? It's like, okay, not everybody is in a perfect place. It doesn't mean that they're not the right person for you. And if you have the patience, if you really think this is the right person, this won't be a deal breaker. Another question. One woman talked on the phone a lot, and then the guy insisted she show up with little notice, and then she rearranged her schedule and he didn't show. He apologized and set up another date and didn't show up again. I've never heard from him. What are the clues when men are looking for sex and not a friend relationship? So then I say, you know, really, these all men are looking for sex. It just makes sense. I mean, why not? You know, we're wired for it, you know. Otherwise, I just go and hang out with my male friends and play soccer, right? It may seem crazy, but, you know, if you're dating, it's not like I'm going to go and play pool or board games, you know. This is dating. Dating, it implies sex, right? So all men are looking for sex when they're online dating, and typically most women are as well, maybe not as soon as possible. But some of them may be looking for sex and a relationship. The tricky part is knowing if they're interested in the relationship part as well. And the fastest way to find out is to have sex as early as possible and find out if they stick around. Really, if that's what all they were looking for, if you have sex with them, they won't stick around. Now, if you don't have sex, it doesn't mean they will stick around either. So the slower and more traditional approach is to make the man wait, which also means you'll have to wait to find out too. What can happen is that you wait 3-6 months to have sex, and then it turns out he only wanted the sex part, or that the sex is crap altogether. Result, you're in the same place you would if you had sex early, except you wasted the valuable time you could have dedicated to finding a better candidate. As I mentioned before, if you're going to spend time getting to know someone better, you may as well also have sex during the process. Not only you'll have more fun, but we'll get to know that person more wholly, more completely than if you just stick to above the waist exploration. And regarding the person not showing up for a date, once is his fault, twice is yours. Marilyn asks now, a lot of the women complain that the men want to come over and get dinner cooked, but don't initiate doing anything. Several call the men they meet lazy. What do you think of that? Any suggestions to navigate this? Maybe in your demographic, there's an old-fashioned thinking, behaving man where these guys expect the women to do everything. Well, then just move on. That expectation sets a very bad and sexist precedent. Men should understand that women nowadays are not the ones that have to cook or do whatever. You know, they have the same rights and they should have the same expectations in terms of responsibilities. So if the guy is one of those guys, well, the answer is very clear. Just move on. I don't care if the guy's good looking, rich or whatever. He's going to treat you like a slave. Then you don't want this guy. And finally, the last question. In this older age range, what do you think are the key differences and similarities between men and women dating desires? So I think the main difference with women and men and women 40 years old and older is their expectation to form a family. So the problem will be if the man really wants to have kids, this is unlikely to happen with a woman over 45 years old. So it's important that those expectations are communicated as early as possible in their relationship. Other than that, I think their desires are fairly similar. Everybody wants companionship, and the reason why they are trying to find somebody is because they want to share their life with somebody that they care. But what could cause an issue would be definitely if they want to form a family. They may have kids already, but they may want to have more kids. Now, it's very unlikely that if you're 45 years and older as a woman that you can have kids. So then you have to consider adoption. This should be communicated as soon as possible and set the right expectations and see what compromise you can reach where, you know, both are happy. And if there's not a possibility to reach a compromise, then unfortunately, that means that relationship is going to not work, at least for the long term. Right. So that's, I think, the main difference. And there you go. So that was all my answers related to advice on online dating for women 45 years and older. Again, I'm not an expert. I really enjoy this. That's why I created an online course. hacking online dating. If you want to take it, just go to Udemy. Just type on Google Miguel hacking online dating, and it will take you right away to that online course. If you want to take it, just there's a coupon you can take for 50%. It'll give you 50% off. It's Grumo 50 off. So Grumo 50 off, and that'll take you, give you 50% off the course. But anyways, I thought it was interesting to answer these questions. Again, I'm not an expert. I just enjoy talking about relationships, and I'm learning about it. I mean, I've been married 7 years, and I had before 2 long-term relationships. One lasted 6.5, and the other one 4.5 years. So I have experience with long-term relationships. Not so much a lot of like dating, although I did the dating experiment. But again, if you want to find out, you know, if you're really serious about finding somebody in the most efficient way, I recommend using a similar approach. It doesn't have to be as analytical. I mean, I use the spreadsheets and everything, but I cannot really think of a more efficient way of doing it. Go on as many dates as possible and with an open mind. And, you know, I encourage you to have sex as early as possible because it's fun. Always, you know, play it safe. And if the guy doesn't stick around, obviously he was not the right guy. If he really likes you, he's going to stick because he's going to want more, right? That was my case. So don't take it too seriously. Have fun. Really enjoy the process. You're always going to meet lots of interesting people. I mean, I went on 20 dates and I don't regret a single of those dates. They were all great opportunities to learn about other people. And I found an amazing woman, which was what I wanted to do in the first place. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed this one. See you in the next one. And okay, that's all for today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to it, rate it, and share it with your friends. But hey, if you're driving now, please wait until you get home to rate it because I need you to be alive for next episode. Thanks for listening. My name is Miguel Hernandez, and this was the Grumo Podcast.